Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for another day, fellowship together around your word. Thank you because your word is a fire. It's like fire and it's like a hammer. A breakthrough, you know, many things. Lord, we thank you. We give you honor and praise. Let the light that comes from your word shine our hearts this morning. Give us understanding and revelation knowledge. And I pray that my words will drop down this morning, hallelujah, as a dew of heaven. That's right. Let the words of my mouth this morning go out as you have ordained them to accomplish the purpose that is in the heart of the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Bless everyone that's in the room today, those who are here now, those who are joining later, those who will listen to the replays, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. All his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Deuteronomy 32, verses 1 to 4. Today, I'm going to talk about total recovery. The title of today's room is I Will Restore Totally, saith the Lord. Well, that's been a long time coming for you to hear that and give us encouragement as we go through the end of this year up through the next. That's what the Lord will have us consider this morning. I will restore, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, there's a story that I am going to read to us as the main scripture reading today. And but before we do that particular story, let me just read a few verses here in Joel chapter 2. And let me read one or two verses for us out of that place, which is exactly where, you know, this I will restore, saith the Lord, comes from. Glory to God. Now, in the book of Joel, chapter 2, let's start from verse 23. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, that's the planting rain, and it will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain as the planting rain, and the latter rain as the harvesting rain, together in the first month. You know, that means, you know, typically there's a long gap between the planting and the harvesting rain. It can be many months. It can be 8-9 months apart, you know. But this time around, he's saying that both the former, the latter rain will come in the first month. As soon as you are planting, you will be reaping. Glory to God. You know, because he's going to make short work of this blessing that's coming. Hallelujah. It's not going to be prolonged like it used to be. You know, long wait we've had, but now he will hasten it. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And listen to this in verse 25, Joel 2. And I will restore to you the years that the locust have eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar, hammer on, and so forth. A great army shall send among you, and ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. And praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Praise the Lord. My people shall never be ashamed. He says that in a couple of times here. Listen to the next verse. He'll say it again. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. Well, let me put it to you this way. You shall know that I am in the midst of my people. And I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. The second time he's saying in two verses back to back. Praise the Lord. You know, so, you know, that's where this, I will restore pronunciation from the Lord comes from. He's talking about the years that the cankerworm has eaten. The locust, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, all these things. You know? A lot of people have lost a lot of years, some weeks, some months, some whatever, you know, through whatever reasons. You know, sometimes it's just the enemy that comes in to devour. Sometimes it's our own foolishness. You know, sometimes it's, you know, because of lack of planning and whatever else. You know, sometimes it's because of disobedience or not discerning the voice of the Lord. You know, whatever the reason is, we find ourselves sometimes in places where we should have been more advanced. Yeah, we should have gone much more forward. But here you are, you know, whatever it is. And there are some things that the enemy might have come in and stolen from us. Well, today, according to the word of the Lord for you today, the Lord will have you know that he will restore. And he said, totally. Now, here's the story I want to read and share with us. This story is in 1 Samuel chapter 30. And I've alluded to this story several times, but the Lord in this story will tell us a word, and it's important for us to catch this story. So let me read 1 Samuel chapter 30, starting at verse 1. I'm going to read verses 1 to 8, and I'm also going to read verses 17 to 20. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And they had taken women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and all the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken, Ahinoam the Jezreelite and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I love that. In the face of whatever, you know, people said, well, we followed you. You tried to join yourself to the Philistines. They kicked you out after a while. And we followed you all over the place. And now look at this. You know, I mean, now their wives are gone. Their children are gone. And everybody lamented. And they wanted to kill him, because they thought that it was because of him that all this evil befell them. And he himself was greatly distressed. But he encouraged himself in the Lord. My soul, why art thou disquieted within me? Ha, glory to God. He said that in Psalm 42 several times. That, why art thou disquieted within me? Why art thou disquieted within me? You know, stir yourself up, he said to his soul. You know, I shall yet praise him for the light of his countenance. And he would encourage himself like that. And so let's continue this story. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod, because he's going to inquire from the Lord. So Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? Now, let's listen to the answer of the Lord here, because this is where today's lesson is at. Everything is gone. Their wives are gone. They've, you know, burnt everything down. They didn't, you know, thank God they didn't kill any of the people. They took them alive. But, you know, they're probably going to take the women to themselves, make the children slaves. I don't know what they're going to do. But they took them, and these people are lamenting. Now David said, Lord, shall I go after them? Shall I pursue after these people? And shall I overtake them? And the Lord answered him and said, pursue! For thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail you will surely recover all. Now that's the lesson today. You will without fail recover all. That's the word of the Lord to us today. Now, the enemy may have taken many things from you and so forth, but the Lord says, pursue and overtake, and you will without fail recover all. Now that's A-L-L, not some, but you will recover all. Now, well, let's see what happened when he did pursue. Let's jump to verse 17. And so, you know, David arose, pursued, and he smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, except 400 young men that rode up on camels and fled. And David recovered all. Isn't that what the Lord said? Thou shalt without fail recover all. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives and all the other people as well. Wasn't just his. Recovered everything. And then some. Now let's listen to the part that was even beyond what he recovered. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters nor wives nor everything. They recovered all. Neither spoil nor anything that they had taken, that the Amalekites had taken, you know, from them. They recovered all. Bible said David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those other cattle and said, this is David's spoil. Praise the Lord. He came with increase too. You know, not only did he recover all, he got a lot of spoil too. Praise the Lord. Spoil is not something that you recovered, which was yours. You know, if it was yours, it's not a spoil. Spoil is something that you took, you know, after you vanquished the enemy and you took of them. So David, he recovered not only what was taken from him, but he also recovered and took spoil of the enemy's substance. Glory to God. Now that's how the Lord would do it. He said, you will without fail recover all. And that's our declaration unto you today, that the word of the Lord says, you will recover all. Let me tell you a couple more stories of people that lost everything. And by the mercies and grace of God, by the favor of God, they recovered all. Well, let's read the story here in 2 Kings chapter 8. And I'm going to read the first 6 verses. And I've also spoken on this story before. Let's see what's in this story. There was a woman. She was called Shunammite woman, that had helped Elisha from time to time. And she'd been kind to him. She had even spoken to her husband, and they built him a small place that he stayed, gave him a table, a lamp, and this, and so forth. Anyway, and you know the rest of the story, what Elisha had done for her, how he gave her the word of the Lord that she will have a child, and so on and so forth. Child died, raised her back to life. Raised him back to life. And so on and so forth. Well, that's not a part of my story. But in this place, Elisha, because of the woman being so kind to him all the time, Elisha said to the woman, "There's coming a great famine upon the land. So, you know, get up with your household and go and live wherever you can, because it's going to be very sore and it's going to be very hard." So she got the inside scoop. She did, absolutely. You know, she had inside knowledge of what was coming because of the prophet that gave her the word. "Then spake Elisha unto the woman, whose son he had restored to life, saying, Arise, and go thou and thine household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn. For the Lord hath called for a famine, and so shall it come upon the land 7 years. So Elisha, you know, admonished her to get out of that place and go to another place where the famine may not reach unto. You know, so the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God. And she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. Now that was 7 years. And it came to pass at the 7 years end that the woman returned out of the land. She knew the man of God said 7 years. So she probably sent and heard that, you know, things are recovering. So let me go back and see if I can get my property back. In the meantime, she had lost everything because you abandoned your land, your property, and so forth. You know, well, the king who confiscate it all. You know, and they can use it for anything they want. So it came to pass at the end of the 7 years that the woman returned to the out of the land of the Philistines and went forth to cry unto the king for her house and her land. In the meantime, the house and the land had become the king's property. And the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of Elisha. You know, I said, "Tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha had done." Now, let's check out this story here. There's something also happening here behind the scenes. There is this element of divine appointment. Now, when the Lord is going to bring you recovery of all, there may be other things that he will put into motion as well. In this particular story, different than the other one at Ziklag, the Lord will put into place this element of divine appointment. Now, what's a divine appointment? Well, a divine appointment is a meeting arranged by God between one or more participants, whether those participants know about it or not. And the Lord is the one that's arranging it for a reason, usually to bless someone out of it. Now, so at this particular time, the king could have asked this question at any time over the last previous 7 years, but he didn't. But on this particular day, that the word of the Lord in the life of this woman, which Elisha blessed her before she left, will continue to come to pass, the Lord prompted the king to ask none other than Elisha's servant Gehazi. And he said, "Well, tell me, this man Elisha, I know you served with him. Tell him all the great things that he has done." And then the man began to tell him. And he was telling the king how Elisha had restored a dead body to life. Now, at that very moment, ladies and gentlemen, if this man had told the king this story 3 months before, 2 weeks before, 5 years before or whatever, it would not have had the same impact. But the Lord arranged it. Now, that's the thing behind a divine appointment. It's a divine arrangement. The Lord arranged it that in the very moment that the Lord put it in the heart of this man to begin to ask these questions, that would be the very moment that this lady would arrive. Now, she'd been traveling for many days to get there, but God timed it perfectly. Ha! Glory to God. And when this king was asking, and this Gehazi fellow was telling the story, this woman cried to the king at that very moment. And they brought her before the king, and Gehazi said, "Oh my goodness, my lord, this is the woman that I was just telling you about. This is the woman, and this is her child that Elisha, the prophet, raised back to life." And you know, it could not have had a more profound effect than that moment. The moment that the story was just being told, this woman arriving at that very moment. That had to be God. I know it was God. God arranged it because he wanted this woman to recover all. Now, the effect, the significance, the magnitude, and the impact of that collision in time caused the king to say, "My goodness, are you indeed the woman that is being spoken of here? Did Elisha indeed restore this, your boy, to life?" The woman said, "Yes." And so, you know, the king, you know, said, "Okay, well, tell me, what's going on?" And as she told the king, before she even finished, the king appointed her an officer of the law. See, and you know, when the king makes law, it is law. The law of the land was, once your property was stolen that you have taken over by the government that you had abandoned by the king, it was now in the domain of the king, and you could never get it back. They've planted over it. They've done all kinds of things. It's over. It's gone. But the king would reverse that because of the impact of the story line coming together. And God arranged it so. And he said to the officer, "Go and restore all." Now that's again, recover all. "Go and restore all that was hers. All the fruit of the field from the day that she left." Glory to God. Even until now. Now, that's even more than she lost. Because all she lost was, you know, her house and her land. But now that the king took it over, they had planted it. They had developed it. They had renovated it. They had produced all kinds of things, you know, and they kept tabs on all the produce and all the increase and so forth. Money that was generated, everything from everything that they had done with that land. The king said, "Go calculate it all and let there diminish nothing, you know, of all that was hers. Restore it to her along with all the fruits of the field, every increase and every yield since she left." Now, she probably herself could not have maintained that field as well as the king would have. She probably wouldn't have the resources to make sure it produced a good harvest, you know, time after time. But the king, he did it all. And now it's going to be hers. The Lord said, through the mouth of the king, "Restore to her everything that was hers from the day that she lost it until now." Isn't that wonderful? The Lord is the one that can do these things. And he's saying to you today, thou shalt surely recover all. Now, don't worry about it. God can make arrangements such as this. God can orchestrate things, you know, and I'm going to tell you something else too. You know, in order for the word of the Lord that I'm declaring here today to come to pass, God will set certain things in motion and collision in time. You know, time sequences, event sequences, and collision in time, appearances of people at different things and times and various things constituted to appear at exactly the same time by the knowledge of the Lord in order for God's word for you to come to pass, that you will without fail recover all. Now say, how is he going to do it? That's none of your concern. You know, you just believe. Glory to God. It's none of your concern how he's going to do it. This woman didn't know what she was going to encounter. She was just going to go and beg, petition the king. But she didn't even have to say anything. God already prepared the ground before she came. You know, she was being talked about. This king was fascinated. Elijah did that? Well, absolutely. You know, maybe Elisha did that? Well, absolutely. Maybe he was still, well, I don't know about that. You know, and so forth. You know, all of that intrigue was still going on in his mind when the woman appeared at the very moment by divine counsel was constituted that the timelines will collide right at that point. And the king was blown away. And before she even said anything, he was ready to do anything for her. Glory to God. And she recovered all. And she recovered even more. Praise the Lord. All the fruit of the land. From the time that she lost it, she recovered all. Well, let's talk about another man that, you know, likes to recover things that he lost or the enemy took from him. His name, of course, was David. He loved to recover things. He's not going to let the enemy take anything from him that belongs to him. You know, one way or another, he's going to get it back. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Let's read from verses 34 to 37. Now, you may know this story. In this particular story, which people famously call David and Goliath story, the conflict. Well, let's pick up the story in verse 34 of 1 Samuel 17. As you know, Goliath had thrown out a challenge to the armies of Israel. And said, look, there's no reason for all of us to fight and everybody kill each other. I'm just one man. You also choose one champion for yourselves. And let the two of us fight. That's, you know, and whosoever wins, then their side won. And the other side must surrender. You know, there's no need to kill everybody. There's no need for lives. It's just two of us. You know, just one person kill one person. That's better than everybody killing each other. You know, give me a champion to fight against me. If he kills me, then all of us will surrender to you. But if I kill him, then you all will become our servants and you surrender to us. Yeah, so made this challenge day after day. And none could answer. Because this man was a towering figure over everybody. He was huge. And he, you know, I mean, everybody was scared. But it came to pass that Jesse, the father of David, sent him to go and look after the welfare of his brothers who had gone to the battle. Now, David, of course, he was the youngest. He was not sent to anywhere. He was with the sheep. And maybe the father was thinking, well, this man will be king someday. Better keep him over here. But anyway, David loved the sheep. And he was with the sheep and everything. Brothers went to the battle. So David came, as his father had said, and he brought them some victuals. And then he came and then said, hey, you know, what's happening? And, you know, and Eliab and the rest of his brothers, they didn't appreciate the fact that this young man came to the battle. And they said, what are you doing here? With whom have you left all those sheep? You know, I know the pride of your heart. You come to espy out the battle. You come to check out the battle. You should have stayed with the sheep. And David said, look, I am here to do my father's bidding. Moreover, I don't see any battle going on here. All I see is, you know, somebody taunting you guys and all of you cowering in the corner. I don't see any battle. What battle? You know, and he listened some more. This man made the challenge. He talked to one person, talked to another person. Nobody could answer. And David said, what's going on here? why is there anybody not respond to this man? And said, well, look at him. Can you see what he looks like? So David said, look, you know, and they started to rumor, look, the king has said that look, anybody that takes this man out, the king will do this, the king will do that, give that person the king's daughter, and so on. David said, give the king's daughter. I like that. So he said, look, you know, I'm going to go against this man. And his brothers shouted him down again. Go home. You don't belong here. You know, and David said, look, you know, you guys think that this man has come to defy the armies of Israel. But I tell you what, he is defying the armies of the living God. So David is going to approach this thing in the spiritual. He's going to make it God's fight now. See, that's another lesson out of this. Everybody said this man's come here to taunt Israel. David said, no, this man's come here to taunt and reproach the name of the Lord. You know, and so he's making it God's fight. And, you know, when you make it God's fight like that, well, God's going to respond. So, you know, eventually the word got to the king. There's a young man here that's saying he's going to take the challenge against Goliath. And the king said, really? Bring him here. They brought him there. You know, the king said, you really going to do this? He said, yes, I can do it. So the king gave him all kinds of things. Well, they had no option. They tried to dissuade him. He said, no, I can do it. This man come out here and everything. I can do it. So he said, okay, fine. Before you do it, I'm going to give you my helmet. I'm going to give you my, you know, armor. I'm going to give you my sword. I'm going to give you all these things. Because you can't just go up against this man. This man is a man of war. And he's talented and skilled for many years. And look at his height. Look at his stature. So they loaded up David with all the armor and everything. And David, he tried to move. He couldn't even move. You know, he said, I can't use this. You know, get this off of me. You know, I'm going to tell you what too. And the king said, look, you cannot go there without being protected. You're going to be hurt or even killed. David said, look, I'll tell you something. And here's where we pick up the story. And David told them this incredible thing. And every one of them was just looking when he told it. He said, look, when I kept my father's sheep in the wilderness, well, it came to pass that there was a lion that came and took something from my flock. It also came to pass that there was a bear that came and took a little lamb from my flock. In either one of these cases, I went after them. I went after the lion and I went after the bear because he took something that belonged to me. And I said, not on my watch. You're not going to have what belongs to me. And I went after the lion, got into a fist fight, and I recovered what was mine. I also went after the bear, and when he rose up against me, he was as tall as this Goliath. And I slew him also, and I recovered what was mine. So this Goliath will be like one of them. The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the hand of the bear and caused me to recover that which they took from me, he will give me the head of this Goliath today. Hallelujah. David was a man. He was not going to let the enemy take anything from him. Young man, but brave nonetheless. And he said, well, you know, we've given you the armor. You can't take it. How are you going to go out against it? He said, give me some time. I'm going to go to the place where I'm comfortable with. That's right. You got to go to the place that you're comfortable with. This man was comfortable around the brooks. That's where he sang all his psalms. That's where he watched the sheep come to the water and drink. That's why he wrote Psalm 23 and all these things. And he said, look, let me go back to the place that I'm on my comfort zone. You know, I'm going to get myself ready and I'll come back. And he went there and he remembered. Woo! Lord, I will remember you from the land of Jordan. I will remember you, Lord, from the land of Mizpah. And he said, look, Lord, You are my shepherd, and I shall not want. And though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I'm not going to fear any evil concerning this great Goliath. I'm going to go. And he took out 5 stones from the brook. And the Lord guided his hands. There was one particular rock. God guided his hand to it. He picked it up and put it in his pouch, took his sling, went back to the king. He said, I'm ready. Let's do this. So they made the announcement. They sent him back into the valley. And Goliath, he come out against him. And he saw this little ruddy kid, and he disdained him. He's like, are you kidding? I mean, you guys are going to send me a lad? It's an insult. He said, look, I will give you over to the gods or whatever today. Well, and David said, you come against me in the name of your gods, but I come against you in the name of the Lord, whose armies you have defied. Not the armies of Israel, but you've defied the armies of the living God. And I have your head. Just imagine this in your head. The bravery of this young man. He went out against that Goliath, and the whole time he was seeing the bear that rose up against him. But when that bear rose up against him, pounded his chest like that, moved that lamb from side to side with his mouth like that, was still in his mouth, pounded his chest like he was as tall as this Goliath. And David was just seeing that bear. He remembered how he slew that bear, and he said, this man is just nothing. Lord already prepared me for this moment, you know. And he put his hand in his pouch, and God guided his hand. He got that one stone. Glory to God. And he put it in his sling. This man was coming. He was clad with all kinds of armor. There was only one spot that was open in his armor, right between his eyes. Because he had his helmet, he has his sword, he had everything, the shield, everything. But right between his eyes, there was the opening so he could see. And he had everything covered. And he felt he was invincible. Nothing could penetrate. And David slung that thing. And the angel of the Lord guided that stone right smack between the eyes. Glory to God. My goodness, the slaying of a giant. And David prevailed over the giant with just a stone and a sling. And because he had no sword, this man reeled over and fell down. Because the angel of the Lord propelled that stone with a velocity powerful enough to knock this man down. And when he fell down, David ran over. He tried to grab his sword. He couldn't really do it with one hand. Took in 2 hands, but he grabbed the man's sword. But this man was huge. And he took the man's sword and cut off his head. Glory to God. And he stood over the man, carried off his head like this. The Philistines saw it. They knew they were defeated because their champion was slain. They fled. And all Israel began to dance. Glory to God. You know, and so you see, this man David, he would not be denied, and he knew because he knew how to do it. Praise the Lord. Well, that was before even Ziklag. He knew that the Lord could do that for him, you know, and he knew the Lord could do that also in Ziklag. The man was used to recovering things that was stolen from him. Well, let me tell you another story of a man, you know, that he was duped. That's right. You say duped? People dupe each other in the Bible? Well, absolutely. You know, you've heard me tell this story of Jacob and Laban, and Jacob was, you know, I mean, tricked by Laban, you know, for one, he wanted Rebecca, you know, Laban gave him Leah, and he served 7 years for that, you know, for her. And after that, he wanted to do something for himself. The man said, well, you know, the Lord has actually blessed me since you have been here. So why don't you tell me what you want? My daughter, actually before that, he said, look, I had to give you Leah because I couldn't give you the younger daughter first. That's not done in our custom. But they said, well, but that's who I asked for. And the man said, well, I'll tell you what. Since you have done this and you like this or that my daughter better than the first one I gave you, why don't you serve me another 7 years for the other one? And I will give her to you again. Wow. So that's making 14 years now. 14 years of Jacob's life just to marry the wife that he desired. Now, the Lord said the years with the cankerworm and the caterpillar has taken and stolen from you, I will restore. Now, it's a long story, but you can read all of it in Genesis 31. You know, and so after all of that, we finally got his wife. Then Leah came and said, look, I see how the Lord has blessed me all the time that you've been here with me. You know, so, you know, I know a lot of things, you know, have increased because of, you know, you being here. I tell you what. Serve me some more. Give me your wages. I'll pay you. Let's serve me. And the man said, look, when am I going to go and prepare for my own good? I mean, I've served you 14 years already. Anyway, negotiated. The man said, look, I'll do this. I'll do that. So the angel of the Lord was going to make sure that Jacob did not come out with the short end of the stick. Pun intended. There was a stick involved in this story. So anyway, Laban was tricking him and so forth. And every time he went in there and said, these are my wages, the man would change it. He said, well, that's not what we said, this and that, this and that. And, you know, so okay, so finally, you know, Jacob remembered the dream that the Lord showed him. And he said, look, here's what we're going to do. You know how these cattle are. I've never stolen any of the things. Yes, many times you accuse me, you know, but to make sure that there is no accusation or anything, you know, these cattle that you don't like anyway, which nobody likes, the spotted, the grizzled and so forth, and the speckled, those are the ones, because everybody wants the one that was plain and looking good. I said, well, those will be my wages. So give me, at that time, there were only very few, you know, so this will be my wages. So the thing pleased Laban. Said, oh, okay, you're only going to take the despised cattle anyway, fine. And there were very few. So he was happy with it. And Jacob said, you know, let it be known this day that if you find with me any cattle that are not ring straight like these or this and that and so forth, that means I have stolen them. So that thing sounded good to Laban. You know, this will be my wages. That's all. And that's looked good to Laban because he thought, wow, he's got all the lean, the mean ones. I got the fatted of the calf. So, you know, this is good. But the Lord is going to make sure the enemy is not going to take what belongs to you. This man has taken 14 years of his life. He's going to take another 6 years of his life. At the end of the day, it's going to be 20 years. But the Lord's going to make Laban pay for it. The Lord is going to cause the transfer of wealth. That's right. Transfer of wealth from Laban to Jacob. And how did he do it? The Lord showed him in a night vision. He saw a dream. And the Lord gave him strategy. It's how you're going to do it. You know, and this man did an absolute incredible thing. None like it has ever been heard in that whole Bible. He took a stick and carved whatever colors, whatever thing he wanted the cattle to come out like, which will be the one that the man didn't want. And when he saw the strong cattle that were trying to mate, he put this stick in front of them so that they, when they conceived, they would come out with those colors. Can you do that? No, You cannot affect the course of nature like that. But it was the Lord that was going to make sure he had what was coming to him, because the devil, through Laban, had stolen 20 years of his life. And so, and when there were the feeble cattle that were trying to mate, Jacob just left them alone. So at the end of the day, all the strong cattle came out spotted, wrinkled, I mean, you know, just speckled and so forth, just like they agreed on. And by and large, all the strong cattle from Laban's flock became Jacob's. And the man could not argue it, because he was said before many witnesses. And he said, when he checked it out, he said, hey, look, I only have the spotted and the grizzled, just like we agreed. The man could not do anything. And God made sure that Jacob recovered all. And then some. Glory to God. The merchandise of Ethiopia, the labor of Egypt, men of Sabaoth shall call over into you on chains. In chains shall they come over. You know, God said, look, I will make you recover all. And he did. And this man, he recovered everything. In fact, what he got, after all, was like all those years that he had lost. Glory to God. Now, these are stories that I wanted to tell you today, to let you know that when God says you will recover all, you will recover all. Now, let's read Isaiah 51 and verse 1. Here are a few promises, and then I'm going to pray over the room. Praise the Lord. Now, Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 11. Therefore, redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. And everlasting joy shall be on their head. And they shall obtain gladness and joy. And sorrow and mourning shall flee away. This is the promise of the Lord. You're going to return to your place of blessing. Praise God. You know, same thing in Isaiah 35 and verse 10. He said, the ransom of the Lord shall return, come to your own place, and you'll have songs, joy, and blessing, and gladness, and sorrow, and sighing, and mourning shall flee away. Hallelujah. Let's read Isaiah 43. A few promises here before we pray. Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. And the Lord said, remember ye not the former things. You know, the days of loss, the days of sorrow. You can't go back and change yesterday. It's gone. As a lot of people that have regrets, you know. And the other day I was praying, I was teaching in this room. I said, get your finger off that rewind button. People are constantly rewinding, you know, the tape to see the, you know, what happened to them in the past. Devil's constantly bringing that up. How you lost this, how he lost that, and how this and that, and so forth. Well, you might want to listen to that lesson. I called it, that was then, but this is now. Well, that was then, but this is indeed now. You can't go back and change yesterday. But the Lord said, you will recover all. It is true. It is of a fact that the devil stole those things from you. Whether he, you know, he capitalized on your own mistakes, your foolishness, your lack of wisdom, your lack of planning, whether you brought it upon yourself or not, no matter how you got into this situation, the devil had robbed you of many things. But the Lord said, notwithstanding, the spirit and the anointing for total recovery is here in this room today. And that means, let me tell you what total recovery means. Praise God. Total recovery means, you know, let's just use a, when you have a wound, the wound heals and it leaves a scar. That's not total recovery. That's partial recovery, because now your body is scarred. Suppose if the wound was on your face and there was a deep cut, you know, now you've got, your face is marred for life. Imagine that was a woman. Women love their faces. You know, they will do anything to make their face pretty. So the wound is healed, but it leaves a scar. It's marred. It's not total recovery. What the Lord is going to do here is he will not only heal the wounds, he will leave no scars. Hallelujah. That means there will be no further regrets. The Lord will do it as if it never happened. That's how he does it. When he says total recovery, when David went out after the Amalekites, it was as if it never happened. Got everything back and then a lot of spoil on top of it. Praise the Lord. Same thing with Jacob. You know, all those years that the Canaan through Laban stole from him, he got it back. And then some, plenty some, he got it back. Praise the Lord. So total recovery means God will heal the wound and erase the scar. There will be no scars left. Glory to God. Praise God. You know, so God is not going to do a partial thing here where he heals you, but the scars are still there to remind you of all your losses. No. God says, I will wipe away your tears. Hallelujah. You will remember no sorrows. Glory to God. God will do it. That's what is coming for you as we go through the rest of this year up through next year. And the Lord, he said in Isaiah 43 and verse 18, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Get your hand off that rewind button. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now these are things that don't happen. Nobody creates a way in the wilderness. The rivers don't spring forth in the desert places. But in the desert places where it has been said that there shall be no river and there can be no river, there will I make rivers, saith the Lord. In the places where they have said there is no way out, there will I make a way, saith the Lord. And the crown of glory will return, glory to God, upon your head. That's called everlasting gladness, everlasting joy will be upon your head. That's a crown of glory. The Lord said, when I do this total recovery, the Lord will announce and say, and the Lord loves to make new things. You know, he loves it. He enjoys it. You know, from Genesis to Revelation, he enjoys it. And even in Revelation 21 and 7, clear on through the end of the book, he's still making new things. He said, behold, I make all things new. Hallelujah. So, new things, you know. Behold, I will do a new thing. Shall he not spring forth? Now, there's a new thing coming in your life. Something new. Hallelujah. That will make you forget the years of shame, the years of loss, the years of reproach. And for your trouble, saith the Lord, I will give you double. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I am so fired up. In fact, I'm ready to prophesy. I already been prophesying throughout this lesson. You know, if you could catch it, you know, Jesus will say, well, if you can believe it, that was this which was spoken. You know, so if you could catch it, I already prophesied many things in this lesson. But I'm ready to release something right now by the power and grace of God. The Lord said, you will surely recover all. Total recovery. I will restore, saith the Lord. Total recovery is coming for you in 2024. Glory to God. And we, you know, the Lord needed to prepare the people. So he sent me here to bring these messages, bring this time of preparation, so to speak. You know, to position every one of us, you know, to be just right. But never lean on, even though you're hearing all of this and you know it's coming, don't lean on your understanding. Don't worry about it. God knows how to orchestrate things. Just like that Shunammite woman. There was no way in the world that after traveling for days, maybe even weeks, to get to the front of the king, that it will be at that very moment that someone will be speaking about something that had happened to her that's going to blow the mind of the king to the point that he was going to do anything for her. That's how God causes you to recover all. Praise the Lord. I'm going to pray now and ask the Lord to pour out upon you the anointing of total recovery. The anointing that is going to cause the word of God to come to pass quickly in your life for next year. And you will recover all. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, glory to God, I declare the word of the Lord over your people that are here in this house right now, that they will surely recover all. That's what you said, that we shall surely recover all. Now let the anointings for total recovery be released upon everyone that's hearing this right now, whether hearing it directly in this room at this time or even listening to the replay. I command the same anointing to be on the replays, that the people of God will understand that it is time. And may I say also, let the angels that excel in strength, that are ready to do his commandments, when they hear the voice of his word, let them begin to go into action, go into operation on your behalf, and orchestrate events that will cause you to recover all. Praise the Lord. And you will recover all. For I will restore, saith the Lord. I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. That's right. What are the locusts that have eaten anything in your life? The Lord said, I will restore those things. Well, that which the locusts left, the caterpillar came in and ate. That which the caterpillar left, the cankerworm came in and ate. That which the cankerworm left, the palmer worm came in and ate. And on and on and on, they have devoured the blessings that should be yours. But the Lord said, I will restore, saith the Lord. I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm will I restore. I will restore, saith the Lord. I will restore to you the years. Raiki sandi makoto shadalabake razunde bakau. Riandala sema, sema tashe shutunda karibas. I will restore to you, and you will know that the Lord has said it. Indeed, indeed, the Lord has said it. I will restore to you the years that the cankerworm, the locust, have eaten. They will vomit it up, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They cannot take that which is yours. I have commanded a blessing, and no one will be able to take it from you. I will even watch over it, because the Lord said, watch over my word to perform it. Praise the Lord. And ye shall eat in plenty. And ye shall be satisfied. And you shall praise the name the Lord your God, who had dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall be able to say, see what the Lord has done. That which was stolen from us, he has restored. And indeed, I have recovered all. Glory to God. That will be your song. That will be your testimony as we go through the end of this year, up through next year, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, you know, and not to draw attention to myself, but if I be a servant of the Lord, because here's what God said, you know, some of these prophets used to say, if I be a man of God, you know, Elijah would say, well, if I be a man of God, well, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. You know, I'm not going to say it like that, but here's what I will say, because here's what the Lord said, and I will say it that way as well. The Lord said, look, I am he, glory to God, that frustrated the tokens of the liars. Glory to God. All the lies, that's right, that the enemy has made against you, all the things that the devil has stolen, diviners, devices of the wicked against you. The Lord said in Isaiah 44, and he said in verse 25, well, let me read it from verse 24. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer. As a matter of fact, he said, read it from verse 23. Well, sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord has done it. Shout for joy, ye lower parts of the earth, and break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forest, and every living thing, every tree that is therein, whom the Lord has positioned to clap their hands for you. Let them begin to sing for joy, for the Lord hath redeemed you. Put your name there, and glorified himself in your life. Put your name there. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretch forth the heavens alone, and spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. I didn't need any help then, and I don't need any help now. Hallelujah. I am the one that frustrated the tokens of the liars. Every lying spirit, every peeping and gazing and muttering spirit that have come against you to eat up your flesh, they will stumble and they will fall. And those that have managed to take a bite out of you, they will vomit it up. Hallelujah. I will cause you to recover all. I will make diviners mad, and I will turn even wise men backwards. And those that try to peep and gaze into your life, I will blind their eyes, saith the Lord. I will make their knowledge to be foolish. I am the one that confirmeth the word of my servant. That's right. And performeth the counsel of my messengers. Glory to God. Well, am I then a servant of the Lord? Am I a messenger that he has sent to deliver this message? Why, absolutely. Therefore, Lord, you will confirm this word in the lives of your people. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I give the Lord the praise and the glory. Are you excited? Glory to God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.